What about now?
Cool.
All right. So again, what a great joy it is for me to be here with you guys. The love that I get, the jokes, you name it, you guys just really, you keep me going. I won't mention any names, but the two guys are sitting right behind Susan, who really gave it to me this morning. So I appreciate that. Believe me when I say that I'm very grateful to stand before you this morning and share a word from God. But before we get to the text, I ask that you graciously bow your head for a quick word of prayer. God of grace, God of justice, God of peace, God of the ones who are easily to forget, and God of those who are easy to ignore, we are your people called according to your purpose. As we enter into this preaching moment, have your way, Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. So I'm pretty sure that you all have heard the phrase sour grapes. But please allow me to share a brief definition with you all. It's when someone expresses negativity about a situation after the fact, only after they've been disappointed about the outcome. And we call that kind of reaction sour grapes. You see, when a candidate loses an election, and then afterwards that person says something nasty about those who voted for the other person, that's sour grapes. A person who loses out on a job and then speaks behind the person who, the interviewer, or speaks out behind the company, you know, but he was just being nice to that person face to face, that's sour grapes. Again, sour grapes. It's not a very attractive characteristics because that sour grapes, that attitude, it's not a nice look. But it is a very common reaction among all of us self-centered human beings. We all do it from time to time and in one form or another. Sometimes we even vent our negativity on God. We blame God for letting this disappointing situation happen to us. I'm not getting what is due me, and it's all God's fault. He's not being a very good God, or else I would have these things. You see, when you and I have this attitude, when we entertain these thoughts, when we express such words at those times, you and I are engaging in sour grapes. Whether you want to admit it to yourself or be honest, I know I do it, but I'm trying to get better at it. You see, in our text today, Jesus addresses the grumbling, the moaning, the sour grapes attitude. And coincidentally enough, he does it in a parable about people who work in a place where grapes are grown. In the story, we know as a parable of the laborers in the vineyard. So that's why this sermonic title this morning is Sour Grapes. Let me give you a little bit of history of what's going on here. You see, during this time, you had two seasons. You had your planting season, and then you had your harvest season. During the planting season, you don't need as many workers as you do for the harvest season. So the landowner would go out into the marketplace to hire workers to work for them. Typically, they would be considered the unskilled workers. So in the text, this man hires some laborers to go work in his vineyard. They agree on a wage. More workers come along just a little bit later. He says, "Whatever is right, I will give to you." Same thing a couple of hours later. Then even as the end of the workday is approaching, the master sends out more workers. The whistle blows. The workers get the pay that they agreed upon. And when they find out the master had paid the same wage to everyone, they become upset. They start to grumble. How can we all get the same wage? It's not fair. We worked way longer, we worked way harder than those other guys. You owe us more. Well, there you go. That's the sour grapes attitude. You see, there's a huge point in this text for the church folks of today. It's simple. Worry about yourself, because it's never too late to begin the work that you have been assigned to do. You see, the sour grapes attitude from this passage is a real temptation, especially for the most dedicated members of the church. We think because we've been slaving away for years in the service and for the good of the church, that we could not be more noble than that. We think that we deserve all the appreciation, all the applause we can get. And when we don't get it, we feel slighted and unappreciated. And to make matters worse, if someone comes along who hasn't worked as long, or as importantly as I have, that person now gets as much or even more recognition. Even at my job, I've been there for 6 months, and I came in with the education and the experience, but I was told, you must be making more money than me. And I had to break it down to them. I have 10 years of experience in the industry, and I have the education. So tell me, what do you have? And afterwards he says, not as much as you. You see, when we get, when we don't get it, we all feel unappreciated, but we want more because we think others are receiving more. Just because you're older or you've been doing the job a little bit longer doesn't mean you actually deserve more here in the kingdom of God when you are doing the work of God. You see, this also reminded me of a story about myself growing up. I think some of you know that I grew up with two other sisters, one of them being my twin. I always thought that I was entitled to more, the best, the most, everything. My allowance should have been bigger because I was the oldest by 8 minutes. I tell her that even to this day. I get the biggest piece of coconut cake because that's my favorite. She doesn't agree with it. But I wanted to be recognized for being here longer and being the oldest. I was too young to understand that my mother could do whatever she wanted, how she wanted, when she wanted, because whatever she was giving away was hers. The day laborers forgot that just earlier that morning, they were just like those who came to work later. They became upset. Instead of being grateful for having the strength and the ability to work, they wanted to complain. They were blessed with the strength to work and to complete the job at hand. Those people got beside themselves, and they forgot that the landowner didn't have to choose them at all. Is that you? Are you so focused that you are you so focused on getting paid that you missed the point of the job? Did you miss your opportunity to encourage someone? Did you miss the opportunity to pray for someone because you found out they were getting just a little bit more than you and you didn't like it? Did you miss your blessing because you were just too busy in other folks' business and worrying about what God had blessed them with and not focused on what your assigned job was? Let's break this parable down just a little bit farther for those who may not be with me. I say, come on back. Another question that I ask you all is, are you standing around like the laborers in this passage? And if you are, where are you standing around at? Are you standing around waiting for something to be given to you? I ask because the laborers could not have been hired if they were not in position. Let me repeat that to you. I say this because the laborers could not have been hired if they had not been in position. It was a reason they were standing there that day. You see, if you're not in the right place at the right time, then they could not have been hired. You see, your blessings come when you are in position. When I think like the day laborers, my priorities may get out of whack. You see, for you have to put yourself in the center of the church's work. And the truth is, it ain't about me and it ain't about you. You see, I just work here. The church, the vineyard, is all about Jesus. Jesus is the landowner. And God had the right to bless whoever and however God wants. And the believer are those day laborers, you know, those that are standing around. You see, listen to this. In the text, there's a level of equality among the believers. Because the day laborers were hired early that morning, they were mad. Because the other people got paid the same amount they did. They worked harder, they worked longer. So what does this mean? It means that the landowner saw all equal. On an equal field. You see, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love Pastor Jeff more than me. It doesn't mean that God loves white lives more than black lives, and it doesn't mean that God loves black and brown skin more than white skin. And it sure doesn't mean that God loves straight people more than gay people and rich people more than poor people. So regardless of when the work came, they all received the same because God loves them the same and he saw them as equal. God isn't so concerned with the amount of work that you get done, but more about the faithfulness when you complete it. So in other words, he is still talking about that attitude. You come to church, but you never do anything after the benediction. The attitude. You see, there's a gospel song, and it caused a little bit of controversy by Erica Campbell, and it's called "I Love God." It was a lot of slang, but it says "I love God." But I'm not going to get into the particulars of the song, but there's one particular part right before the chorus comes back, and a lot of people miss it if they're not listening to it. The part of the song says, "None of this means nothing if he comes and I miss him." Again, none of this means nothing if he comes and I miss him. Again, you have to be in position to receive it. Shaw, you said something when you doing the children's moment that I didn't think of when I was doing the sermon prep, but I want to thank you for a couple of words that you said. And I had to go in and look at the words, another song. And some of you might have heard it, Be Grateful. You mentioned the word grateful. So it's a song by Walter Hawkins. And it says, God has not promised me sunshine. That's not the way it's going to be. But a little rain mixed with God's sunshine, a little pain, makes me appreciate the good times. But the best line of this song says, be grateful, because someone else would love to be in your shoes. Would love to be in your shoes. Can you imagine those day laborers? Someone would have loved to be at that place at that point in time. The text, along with that song, says, don't complain. It's always someone who isn't as blessed as you are. That's why we don't take things for granted. You see, God has not promised you everything that you expect to have, like life, waking up in the morning. You don't know a man until you walk in his shoes for that day. You see, at one point in time, I was so focused on my career that I missed a lot that God had for me. Are you so focused on your career that you're missing the point? Are you so focused on finding a companion or someone to share your life with that you're missing the point? Again, don't worry about what others have been blessed with, because you need to let God be God. I say put God in the proper place in your life and acknowledge that God in all that you do. And if you can't acknowledge God, then maybe you shouldn't be doing that anyway. If you don't remember but one word today, I want you to remember this word from the sermon today. And the word is favor. Favor. You see, favor to me also means blessings. And if others want to question you about what you have received from God, tell them it's favor. You tell them favor ain't fair, but I got mine. And if you have an issue with it, then you take it up with God. I ask again, are you one of the day laborers that are standing around waiting? And I question, are you in position? Amen. There may be someone who wants to join this church. And if so, I invite you to come up during the song of invitation.